Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Hi there, it's Deb Evans, and it may be a crackly Deb Evans, but our co-host tonight and guest will let me know how it sounds. I am coming to you live from Houston, and my co-host tonight is Laurie W., as she is known on Twitter, from Computer Explorer. So, hey, Laurie, how's my sound?
You're crackling a little bit, but not as much as you were pre-show. I'll let you know.
Okay, well, good. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. AK can't be with us, so why don't you remind the guests? I know you've been on here before, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and remind everybody who Laurie W. really is.
Who am I? I have many personalities. Well, it takes most of my time is probably as Director of Social Media and Operations for Computer Explorers, which is where we bonded many years ago. And my blog is Wear Your Tiara to Work at blogspot.com, because I think everyone should be special. Wear your tiara, doing your laundry, you'll be happy.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
So our guest tonight is Annie Fox, and you and I actually interviewed and met Annie online. We haven't met her in person yet, but several years ago on the Inside Computer Explorer show. And Annie, it's great to have you, and you're calling all the way in from California, aren't you?
That's true. Isn't technology wonderful? It's like we're all together.
We're all together again. And we were saying earlier, yes, it's wonderful when it works, and it really stinks when it doesn't work so well. So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody, Laurie and I know who you are, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing today, which is a lot.
Well, I think of myself primarily as an educator. I've spent the last 30-plus years working with kids, especially tweens and teens and their parents, with the goal of helping them navigate through middle school and high school in ways that make them proud of who they are and the choices that they make. So for me, it's always been about social and emotional development, way before there was such a thing as social media. So I've always kind of been involved in the idea of how do we relate to each other, and how can we make better choices when it comes to friendships and the boyfriend-girlfriend zone and moving on into adult relationships. That's what it is for me. And move forward to 2013, I have actually over the last 16 years been on the receiving end of email from kids and parents from around the world. Daily messages come to me asking for my advice on all kinds of social issues that the kids are dealing with at school and at home, and I do my best as an online advisor to help them. And Twitter is something that I started doing in the summer of 2009, 2.5 years ago? Yeah, 3.5 years ago? Yeah. I have just loved it. Twitter rocks, and the number of people, including yourselves, who I've been able to connect with has just been more than I've ever imagined it could be. So I love it.
Well, I know, Laura, you love Twitter as well. You love to tweet.
I do. I like being able to communicate in little short bursts. It seems like Annie got on even before we did. Wow.
Yeah.
At about
yeah.
6 months.
Well, and Annie, go ahead and tell everybody how many followers you actually have on Twitter.
Well, at the moment, I have 43,354.
That just blows my mind.
I'm assuming that most of them follow me because they think I know something about parenting, which is this, vast wilderness that we all you know, think about in kind of rosy terms the day the child is born, and then as the child starts to develop a personality and an ego and starts pushing back, it's like, whoa, what have I gotten into? I need some help. So the truth is I do know a lot about parenting, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to express myself in 140 characters pretty well, and I blog a lot, so I just try to make myself useful to the parents out there.
Well, and you do a great job. So one of the things that we wanted to talk tonight about is, you know, social media and the use of social media and the platforms that you find that are best in building a brand. And when you and I had a conversation about scheduling the show, one of the things that took me by surprise, and I don't hear very often, is how strongly you feel about Twitter and about building the brand using Twitter, when so I hear so many folks now saying, oh, they might be moving away from Twitter and focusing more on the Facebook and the Google Plus. So tell us some more about, you know, where you stand with that and why you see it's best for business.
Well, what I love about Twitter is that you can engage in conversations. You can just, like, dive into the pool at any moment and find out where people are at, what is interesting to them. And, I mean, you could literally start a parenting chat right there at any time. It's as if you were walking into a convention hall, and as soon as I start tweeting, people who are interested in what I am interested in, which is parenting and helping kids make good choices, are right there. I don't have to go looking for them. And it feels to me that there's something magnetic about Twitter that literally attracts. I mean, must be those hashtags. They've got magnetic powers. But it's such a great system, and it's such an easy way for me to connect with the people who are, as I say, like-minded and want what I've got to offer. And if that's not a perfect match for a business model, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. Annie, how do you feel, you know, you talked a little bit about your books and your advice being on building relationships. Why do you think that Twitter has been such a natural extension of that?
Well, it doesn't work for everyone. You know, there are a lot of people who have all kinds of different businesses and have looked to me for some kind of advice in how to use Twitter. And I tell them, and it's the same thing with blogging, I say, these are very hungry beasts. You can't just show up every once in a while, throw out a few crumbs, and expect people to remember you or follow you or interact with you. You have to have a commitment to the community, and you have to be an ongoing presence. But in addition to all of that, you have to have a willingness to be helpful. If all you do, and there are plenty of people on Twitter who just essentially tweet, buy my product, buy my product, buy my product. you know, that kind of person at a party is not someone you'd go up to. So instead, my point of view is always, how can I help you?
Well, yeah, I always call that soapbox social media, and it's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't get it. That you know, Twitter, I mean, for some people, I guess it's like a classified ad section of a newspaper, but nobody looks at those things. But instead, if you're tapped into the zeitgeist, if you see, for example, there's a conversation going on around some topical issue, okay, let's talk about gun safety. And if I know that I have written a pretty good blog about my reaction to what happened in Connecticut from a parent's perspective, then I'll say, you know, this might be of interest to you. Now, the blog is the blog. It's an article. There's no advertising on my site. I don't do banner ads and stuff like that. So if people want a perspective that they trust, and I think at this point people do trust what I have to say in the realm of parenting, then they'll go, yeah, let's check out what Annie has to say about this. And it's just my intention is just to be helpful.
That's good. Now, we had Jason Falls on the show, I don't know, a few months ago. And, you know, one of the things that he did say is that it's okay to use the social platforms for selling at times. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? About,
sure.
You know,
I mean, you have to strike a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You say that maybe 10% of your tweets can be, you know, self-promotion. I mean, the
mm-hmm.
truth is, because I'm a writer and my blogs exist on my website, for people to read them, they're gonna see something about me. But that's not the overall intent. And so I do try to have a balance. A couple of weeks ago, we were doing a KDP Select giveaway for my children's books, and I was tweeting my head off because I was giving something away. I wanted people who have kids who are 4 to 8 years old and maybe have sibling issues, which are some of the themes of the books, to take advantage of the giveaway. And the books are also in Spanish, and so I used Twitter to reach out to Spanish bloggers, particularly Spanish-speaking mommy bloggers, and to let them know about the books and the Spanish translations. And I didn't have any balance in mind then. I just wanted I knew the sale was going to be over in 5 days, and I just wanted as many people to know about it as possible. And we got like 4,200 downloads on a kid's book, and that was a lot.
Wow. Oh, that is a lot.
Yeah, it was really surprising to me. And I did in October for 2 days, and then in December for 2 days, we had the same kind of giveaway for my Teaching Kids to Be Good People parenting book. And in those 5 days, we got 7,800 downloads. So you say, okay, is this self-promotion? Well, yeah, it kind of is. It's a freebie, though. And again, the intent is I always have 100% confidence in the quality of my work, and I know that it helps parents and kids and families. So I have no qualms about tweeting and saying, this is a great book. Here's an excerpt from it for free. Here's a place where you could look at reviews. Here's a link where you could download it for free. Take it.
So you're giving, you know, as you're promoting, I mean, you're promoting the whole book, but you're giving something to your community.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm there. I don't see why you
right.
should be on Twitter if you don't see it as a community that you want to contribute to. I mean, it's kind of the same way as being in a neighborhood. You know, if you're in a neighborhood and the people live next door need to borrow your lawnmower or whatever, you're helpful. It's because you're a neighbor. It's like part of the thing. And people direct message me all the time and ask me if I'll retweet something for them. And so, you know, most of the time, it's like, fine, of course. Of course I'll do it. I mean, I'll check out the link and make sure it's something I want to put my name behind. But, yeah, I like that kind of reciprocity, which seems very immediate in Twitter.
Annie, I think your passion for what you do, you know, definitely comes across and, you know, apparently has caught on, you know, with your followers, with your tribe. As a result, you know, you give away, like you said, you're real excited about, hey, you know, this is on sale, or download this part for free. As a result, have your people and your followers and really helped you build your business?
Yeah, I say that there have been bumps after these kind of giveaways. You know, free is a very charismatic word, and it's really hard to turn down free. I don't know what percentage of people, after they download something, actually read it, or they're just, you know, grabbing it and loading it up on their iPad or on their phone or whatever. And you just never know. And my husband David and I have our publishing company, Electric Eggplant, and we've been at it since October of 2010. We have books and apps that are on sale, and we have not found the magic bullet yet of how to, you know, sustain a flow of revenue from the products yet. We figure it this way. It's kind of like when you're trying to figure out if the spaghetti in the pot is done, you just fling a whole bunch of it on the wall and see what sticks. That's kind of what we're doing. If anyone tells you they know the true way to build up a business using social media, I think either they're deluded or they're lying, because I don't really see it yet. I say, we can give a step away and get thousands and thousands of people to download it. A week later, are people just, you know, is the engine still humming and are people still downloading it at that great numbers? No. Honestly, no. But I use social media also to reach out to reviewers and let them know that we've got this connection. I've done my homework. I've gone to your site. I've read your blog. I think this is a good match for the kind of things that you prioritize. Would you be interested in reviewing my book? And 9 times out of 10, people say, yeah, I'd be honored to review your book. So then a blog will come from that. And then when that link is live, then I will use Twitter to tweet about that and send people back to the person who was kind enough to review my book. And so there's that reciprocity that it just feels really natural and very welcoming, and I've not found it in any other community.
Wow. So let's step back a little bit and tell the audience, you know, you've written books for decades, it seems like. You had CD-ROMs, and I'm familiar with your CD-ROMs, and you've had your e-books and your iBooks, and now you're doing apps. You actually have developed some apps of your work.
Yes, we have apps. The first two apps are based on books 1 and 2 of our Middle School Confidential series. And the books were published by Free Spirit Publishing in Minneapolis. They're a great publisher, and I've been working with them since 1999. And it was mine and David's idea to take the graphic novel portion of these two books for middle schoolers and turn them into iPad apps. And they've been really successful. Schools are buying them. They're great. Excuse me. Then one of our first children's picture books that we turned it into an iBook, so it's an app as well with Read to Me audio, and it's pretty cool. So David and I have been doing this kind of cutting edge technology stuff really since 1977, which is when we opened something that was called the Marin Computer Center. Marin's the name of the county that we live in, and so our technology roots go way, way back. It was the first public access microcomputer center on the planet. And we kind of decided that it would be cool to have a place where people could come in. This was way before anybody had a PC, to come into a public place that kind of felt like a library, a cross between a library and a living room, and just sit in and play with computers, because people were pretty anxious about the computer age, especially adults. So we sent out a few press releases. When we opened our doors the first Saturday in September of 1977, 700 people showed up.
Oh, my God.
I know. That was before social media.
You just said something like before PC. It's like, really? There was a time, wasn't there?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how old you guys are, but in 1977, that was the year that Pong had just come out.
Yeah. No,
you know? And so without cell phones, without computers, just sending out an ordinary press release that went in the old newspapers that we used to have, 700 people showed up, and most of them were kids. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. Okay. So we had 12 microcomputers there, and by the way, a microcomputer then did not look like a microcomputer now. It had at the most 16K of RAM, and the console, the keyboard part of it that was the computer, was separate from this 30-pound portable TV that sat up on top of it. It's crazy to lug those things around. But anyway, people came in. We had a library of downloadable games, and this was like the tech frontier for public access.
That's funny. Lori, now I'm a lot older than you are. So can you imagine life without social media, without PCs, and having that kind of business going? So you hit something. You really hit the niche.
It was really cool. And the thing was, we were not selling computers.
Right.
And that made it really unusual. There were a couple of computer stores that were around that were selling home computers. Radio Shack was one of them. But what we were doing was educational. It's always been our intent. It was an educational public access microcomputer center. We just want to give people a chance to get some hands-on experience with computers, and because we're fun-loving folks, we figured games would be the way to do it. And we also taught programming. So I was teaching the kids BASIC and a language called Pilot. And my first book was a computer programming book.
Wow.
So, Annie, I guess, you know, a lot of what you're doing with students today on the social, you know, cyberbullying, things like that.
Yeah.
How, tell us a little bit about that, and then how is that etiquette on social with kids any different than it was back in 1977 when you first started?
That's a really great question. I think that the issues that kids deal with, starting around middle school, and maybe starting a little earlier now, because I get requests for workshops for brownie troops, and the kids are second and third grade, and I'm being called in because the girls are acting mean to each other. Help! That's not something you used to see in 77. But the issues of young adolescents, that pecking order of the social strata, finding your place, comparing yourself to everybody else, wondering if you're hot enough or cool enough or popular enough or thin enough or athletic enough or smart enough or all that stuff, whether you're good enough, all of that stuff is as old as everybody. The difference now is that when I went to school and school was over, you know, either you were with your own thoughts. You got to either walk home or ride your bike home or take a bus home or get picked up. But, you know, you could kind of decompress. And all that stuff, all that self-doubt that is endemic with adolescents got a chance to kind of just, you know, chill on the windowsill. It was not heated up all the time. And because kids are mind-melded with their peers 24/7, literally 24/7, there's never any cooling down period. It always gets infused with more drama. So everything is red hot all the time. Kids are literally sleeping with their cell phones underneath their pillow, and they're woken up in the middle of the night with the latest episode of who's with who, who's mad at who, all that stuff. And what it means to me as the person who just got woken up, so I have to dive in, and I call it social garbage. They're just swimming in it, they're wading in it, it's the air they breathe, and they just can't catch a break from it because now they're all addicted to it. And it's really sad. It's very, very sad because as young adolescents, they are most vulnerable psychologically to the judgment of their peers, and this is not the best time for them to be plugged into this garbage all the time, but they are, and it's not going away.
And it's funny that you mentioned it. My daughter is 16, and there was a point in the fall where she canceled her Twitter account,
mm-hmm.
and she just said, it's too much, Mom. I can't handle the drama.
Good for her. Wow.
I mean, she got back on, and now she's more active, Instagram and the new one, Feed. But, yeah, she knows enough to, like, you know, unplug. But sometimes they get real hurtful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as a parent, sometimes we can really be lost as to what to do. And, you know, if you say, well, honey, just put the phone down. Just put the phone down and, you know, come sit with me. You don't always want to do that. That's like saying, well, just don't talk to your friends. That's not going to work.
No, you see, it's a lifeline in a way. But the other part of it is that it has this toxic quality, too. So it's like this one tube that keeps coming at you, and sometimes it's good stuff coming at you, support and friendship and loving connections, and sometimes it's just trash and it's toxic and it brings you down. But it's all coming through the same tube, and it would be nice if there was some kind of filter, I mean, like a real filter somewhere that discerned the intent of the message, and you could just say, okay, if anybody is going to be bringing me down, don't send that one through.
I guess the hardest part is sometimes the good and the bad can come from the same people, depending on,
Oh, yes, you're right about that. Depending on, which way the wind's blowing and how they feel. You see, the thing about adolescents, as we've learned over the last 10 or 15 years of brain research, is that the part of their brain that is actually orchestrating the choices that they make in the areas of self-control and planning ahead and recognizing the outcome of their choices, all of that stuff is not completely wired up yet. So as a result, they're incredibly impulsive, and their emotions are like solar flares. And anyone who's ever lived or worked with teenagers knows that this is true. They seem to be, everything's fine, and then the next minute, they're in tears, or they're yelling, or they've, ripped something up, or they've lashed out at someone. And, if you as an adult are a calming influence and you're right there in the room with them, good educators and centered parents can deal with stuff. But when they're in a playground, which is social media, all by themselves with no adult supervision, it's impossible. They feed off each other, and it's really impossible for them to maintain calm and to make compassionate choices. And that's why it is so very, very hurtful to a lot of people. And then there's that addictive part of it, that connection addiction, which is a real thing, that they just can't turn the damn thing off.
We're talking about adolescents and teenagers, but we all know how many adults have this very same issue, that they get caught up in the drama, they get caught up in the addiction, they get caught up in the social platforms, and they can't turn it off. They can't unplug.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a constant feed, and things can turn into mob mentality. Not, who cares how old we are, right? Deb, you're stuttering.
Oh, just let me be quiet. Yeah, I'm stuttering. No.
I started when my daughter started on Twitter. Stalking her because it's my job as her mother. And she tried blocking me until she realized I managed too many Twitter accounts that she couldn't block them all. That she finally gave up and she lets me check on what's going on. But what other advice would you have for parents to help, monitor what's happening on the social playground?
I think it's really important for parents to make their expectations very clear to their kids. Instead of just saying, okay, I give in, you can have a Twitter account, or okay, you can be on Facebook, or whatever, or they hand them a cell phone. It doesn't stop there. There really needs to be a set of guidelines that's crystal clear to the kid, what is and what is not appropriate behavior online. And I don't think many parents have laid down the law that way. What parents might say to kids is, okay, don't give out your contact information to anyone you don't know. That's usually where parents kind of start and end the conversation, because there's been, when social media first came around, the idea of people masquerading as kids in chat rooms was a big deal, and you didn't want your kid to give out personal information because they might be stalked or lured, off in the real world. Of course, that's important, but that is not the main danger to kids. Using social media. The main danger is this toxicity that comes from friends, very good friends. And so the idea of making sure that your kids know what you mean when you talk about becoming a responsible digital citizen, so that there is no confusion. That means that the kind of behavior you expect of your kid in the real world in terms of compassion, empathy, respect, trustworthiness, all that stuff, what it means to be a real friend to someone, that doesn't change when they're interacting with their friends online. It's the same standard of friendship and behavior. But parents haven't seemed to have gotten that clear, as clear as it needs to be stated to kids, so that kids know without a doubt, if someone is harassing me, I know what to do. If someone is sending me a god-awful nasty message about someone I know, what should I do? Do I pass it forward? Do I, retaliate? What do I do? And these kinds of things come up all the time. And because kids don't have a set standard for themselves and their behavior, they're all over the map, and they usually shoot from the hip, which is the place where they're most emotional. How dare you say that to my friend? Or I'm really angry at that girl. I'm going to start a rumor, or at least pass on this rumor, which I know is not true, but I hate her, so she deserves it. All of that stuff. And parents are clueless because, you know, their privacy. I believe the teens deserve privacy, and there should be healthy boundaries between the kid's social life and a parent's social life. But you don't give that respect and those boundaries until you're absolutely certain that your kid knows how to behave themselves online. So I think that's what parents need to do. They don't need to be looking over the kid's shoulder. They just need to be teaching them how to behave. And so that
in general, whether it's digital or in person, it's the
exactly.
same behavior.
Exactly. And you can't use the fact that you can't see the look on the person's face as an excuse for why you were not compassionate or empathetic or respectful. It's too easy for kids to think of slamming someone or flaming them on Facebook or on Twitter. The excuse is that, well, I didn't know it would hurt them, or I thought it was kind of funny. It was, hey, I was just kidding. All that stuff, it just doesn't wash. And look, you know, parents cannot control what their kids do when their kids are not with them. But
right.
what I say to parents is at least they should have your voice inside their head. If they're considering crossing the line, let them hear your voice inside their head. They may do it anyway, but at least you've planted the seed of doubt that maybe this isn't the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, at least parents, you know, over 32,000 of them have your voice in their head. Hopefully,
yeah.
when they're being faced with these issues, they will have the same experience. Are you just using Twitter and your blogging for you know, sending your message in your business, or are there any others that you're using?
Twitter is by far the thing that I use the most and I use daily. Of course, I have several Facebook accounts. I also use Pinterest. But those seem more to me like bulletin boards, to tell you the truth. And,
mm-hmm.
and because I am a really social person, nothing beats the interactivity of Twitter for me.
That's really been the best thing for, you know, as far as social and building your brand, building your business.
It has. I mean, all the speaking gigs that I get come from Twitter. I had an interesting experience that I'd like to share with your listeners. It was in April of last year. It was my birthday. My husband and I were away for the weekend to celebrate my birthday, and I got, of course, I had my laptop with me, and because these kids email me, and, you know, I want them to always feel like there's a light on and that they never have to wait more than a day to get a response from me. So I always check in on my email. And I got an email from someone, and it was from Singapore, and I pretty much thought it was spam. And I was just about to delete it when I said to my husband, David, is this real? And it was someone inviting me to come and speak at an international conference on character education in Singapore. And he read it, and he said, I think this is real. So I got in touch with the person. They got in touch with me right away, and they had found me on Twitter. And in September, David and I went to Singapore, and I spoke at a conference. And while I was there, I spoke at a school and did a parent event and three student assemblies and a teacher training. And then we went to Thailand 3 days later, and I spoke at a school there. And it all came from Twitter, so it was pretty cool.
So it's actually, you've grown your business globally,
yeah.
as well as, you know, these, you know, your message, the kids, their world is more global than mine was, or yours, or Deb's, when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just hope they're not getting bullied from halfway around the world. That would be...
they probably are. You know, you got to be realistic. And my question is always, you know, what drives the kids who are mean? I had an 8-year-old ask me once at a student assembly, Annie, why are kids mean to each other? It's like, whoa, that's a great question for you. And, you know, there are no simple answers. There are lots of reasons why we as human beings lash out at other people and intentionally try to inflict pain. There are lots of reasons. And because this child was asking me, I took the question seriously, but I wanted to give him some tools. That's always my, you know, that's it. When I say about being useful on social media, that really is your best into a community, is to be useful and to have that intent rather than selling. I wanted to give him some empowerment tools so that he knew where his choices lay and where they didn't lie, what he could control and what he couldn't. You cannot control other people's behavior. You just can't, as much as we'd like to. But we can.
Yeah,
but I do tell kids and adults, too, is that we always have options in terms of the way we respond to things.
Annie, let me ask you this. What is the age group that you see kids are using Twitter? At what ages?
Tell the truth, I don't see many kids on Twitter. I'm guessing that most of the people who follow me are adults. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then when you said that you're engaged with your Twitter followers and you're having conversations with them, you're actually just tweeting back and forth?
Yeah, often.
Do you schedule tweet chats?
I have done that in the past. I get to be guests on a lot of them. I'm going to be on Dad Chat tomorrow night.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm going to be on Dad Chat. We're going to talk about doing the right thing is good karma.
Who's on that chat with you?
Bruce Salen is the co-host.
Good.
Deb, didn't CC Chapman mention something about a dad chat? Yeah,
CC does a lot of them. That's why I asked.
You know, most of the time when I do these things, they're spontaneous. And I guess I could schedule one, but it's like, I don't know.
You'd have to prepare. And you're good at, you know, not winging it, but you're so prepared anyway. But, yeah, it's a commitment to do it.
It's another commitment. And I have to respect my offline time, tell you the truth. You know, I get up every morning and I do an hour of yoga and meditation, and I don't ever want to get too busy to do that because it's a really good way to just, you know, nothing's ever so important that you can't turn the off switch on and just kind of like, It helps me be a better teacher and a better advisor when I can find some balance, because most of the email that comes from me from kids is so off the charts emotional that, and I know parents get really upset when their kids are going through this stuff. So sometimes the best advice I can give to parents and to kids is just, please, sweetie, calm down.
The community as big as yours, Annie, how you must run into some of that same, you know, middle school mentality with the general public directed at you or your brand, too, because, you know, there are trolls. Do you handle it the same way you recommend the kids handle it?
Yeah, the best recommendation I have is don't respond to it. I mean, there are people whose intent is just to add more to the garbage. It's like, why would I encourage them in any way? I mean, my natural impulse is, wait a minute.
you mean we can't always have
that.
The last word?
Totally misconstrued that. But then I just stop and I breathe and I go, really, Annie, do you really need to respond to this? And I don't. And that's really good advice. Because those people, they walk around with, you know, kerosene around them. And all you have to do is, like, throw another match. They'll get on fire and start, you know, doing it more. Come on. It's interesting that a watch what comes up, isn't it? When you get one of these tweets and it's someone is, like, poking you and prodding you and trying to get you to react. I think it's really interesting to watch what the brain does. And then calm yourself down and step back from the ledge and go, you know what? I pass.
Yeah, I don't know if you followed the story. It was a couple of weeks ago. A British soccer player, you know, he was being harassed by some fan or anti-fan on Twitter. He, like, hunted him down.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was like, oh dear, you're not being a role model.
Yeah, you see, I'm so glad you made that point, because I feel like as a teacher, even before I went online, I've always felt like a role model, that kids are always watching what I did when I was in public. Even if I was just walking around in my town, there were kids. Not that everybody knows me, they don't. But I just felt like, as a representative of the adults, I wanted kids to see me doing the right thing in public. And if that meant that there was a Coke can that was smashed on the ground, I would pick it up and carry it to the recycling bin on the street in my town. And so that some kid who might be walking 10 feet behind me would go, huh, that's the right thing to do. I just saw an adult do it, rather than walk past it, which would give the message, huh, walking past garbage is the right thing to do. So I've always kind of had this sense, but being more of a public figure now, even more so. So I'm always really careful in the way I craft my tweets, how I respond to people. And this is true on Facebook comments, those kinds of things. I just had a blog tour, and that's kind of interesting as well. I set up a blog tour to promote my book, Teaching Kids to Be Good People. And I used Twitter, my Twitter followers, to reach out to 19 folks who are good bloggers, who I respect, to have a venue that seems to be a good match for my content, and ask them if they'd be interested in hosting a stop on my blog tour. And for those listeners who don't know what the heck a blog tour is, it's kind of like a book tour without the books and the bookstores and the buses and the anything. It's just my virtual presence on a website talking about some of the concepts in Teaching Kids to Be Good People. So it seemed like a no-brainer and a win-win situation, because everybody who I approached said, yeah, I'd love to be part of your blog tour. That's awesome. And so I created original content for each of the 19 stops along the way, which was a lot of blogging, let me tell you, because I didn't want to just do a stump speech. This is another thing that I respect my followers, and I respect people who have an interest in this stuff, and I just didn't want to ever phone it in on any of the 19 stops. I really wanted to challenge myself to create 19 original articles, even though it was all in a very short time. So I did that, and there are people who post comments, which is great, and not everybody agrees with everything I say. Wow, what a surprise. And, you know, sometimes people get really upset about their point of view. Something as innocuous as putting up a poster, an image that says, be kind to unkind people. They deserve it. They need it the most. Okay, be kind to unkind people. They need it the most. And that's pretty innocuous, I think. But, man, this woman went off about, no, unkind people are sociopaths. They don't care what other people
Oh,
my goodness. And what I got from this was that this woman, unfortunately, had some really nasty experiences with people who were controlling and abusive. And she was carrying that scar like an open wound. And I just needed to be compassionate. And I could have engaged with her on some level that was invalidating her point of view. But instead, I just said, wow, sounds like you've really been hurt. I'm really sorry.
You can hear the teacher in her, can't you, Lori?
Yeah. Absolutely. Annie, I don't know if you're familiar with the whole Social Geek Radio format, but we are coming up on the fun, really fun. Not that chatting with you has not been a blast, but Deb is going to share some tools with us. It's called Geek It Out, and she's got really good music that brings in that part. Are you going to stick around for that?
I would love to.
Okay, well, before you go, I know you mentioned your Facebook pages, but give us all of your social platforms so people can follow you.
Okay, well, on Twitter, it's just Annie_Fox. And on Facebook, it's Annie.Fox.Author, AUTHOR. And the other one on Facebook is Cruels Not Cool, like in cruelty. C-R-U-E-L-S-N-O-T-C COOL. Man, cruel's not cool. Don't go there. That's my student empowerment anti-bullying forum.
Good, good. Well, it's so nice to chat with you again. It was great
talk
to you some time ago and now again, and we'll be watching you online. So you can hang here with us, or we'll catch you on Twitter. We'll chat with you there, but we're going to move right into Geek It Out. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, so we're going to move to Geek It Out. We're going to blame Dana for my audio issue, since our number one Geek It Out fan is not with us, Laurie and Sarah. I know Sarah's in the chat. We're going to blame Dana?
Yeah, he's like claiming that that it's the time change,
yeah,
that he forgot. But, yeah,
Arizona doesn't change. So the first thing we're going to do is Google Analytics, but this is, I'm going to give it a very long URL, and I'll put it in the chat in just a second. Let's see if you can understand me saying it. It's create.visual.ly/graphic/google-analytics. I should have put it in the chat first, but let me pop it in there. And let's see if you can go there with me.
Okie dokie.
And
that
what?
Makes it much easier.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So I found this last week. And what it allows you to do is put in your website, and then it gives you a visual traffic report of the website performance. It's really cool. And it takes a little while to get the weekly insights, but it will send it to you. If you go in, you log in, and you ask to have your email sent, and then it will give you weekly analytics on your sites. It's really pretty cool.
Very pokey.
Is it being pokey? We break things here.
But yeah. Okay, there we go. No, I think it was my Google Chrome that was causing me.
Yeah, and you mentioned something. Maybe my audio could be my Google Chrome too, but I think it's Skype. So anyway, I would bookmark that and take a look at it.
Yeah.
I ran Computer Explorers.
Did you? I'm thinking, oh, that would have been so cool, because a month ago I was doing a presentation with all our analytics, and it was kind of boring. You know, I mean, I took screenshots, but it could have been nicer.
Yeah. Okay, you got it now. Okay. Now, this next one that I have, well, here, let me go ahead and put it in the chat. This one I found from one of your Computer Explorer franchisees. It was in their signature tab when I got an email today, in fact. And I thought, oh, what is this? It's QUIB.ly. And I think you're a member of this, Laurie. QUIB.ly. So your Chrome's taking a while. It's a parenting and technology site that features questions. And what you can do, and it tells you what's trending. And since we're talking to Annie and talking about technology and kids, I thought this would be really, really cool. And when you set up your profile, you tell the site where your interests are so that those articles and feature questions appear. But what I like about this is if you're in that field, you can become an expert or perceived expert by answering the questions that are posted there.
Okay. Yeah, I know which franchisee had this in there. I remember seeing it.
It's David Rhodes. Yeah, we can go ahead and share his name. It's David Rhodes in New Jersey. I asked him about it today, and it is in beta, and he's testing it out. He already has the badge as expert, so I was impressed.
Yeah,
and
I'm
about before I did. But I like it.
I'll have to poke around. It may actually, you know, the weekly newsletter that I do for parents and teachers, this may be a really good topic for next week.
I think it's right. So, and it's got trending, like what I see right now is what's trending is should we be worried about technology, you know, do stories about youngsters developing apps and selling them for millions help or hinder kids' understanding. So, you know, it's certainly up in your field.
Absolutely. I'm putting it into my bookmark circle on Google Plus.
Yeah.
Which I don't have anybody in, is where I keep all my things I want to go back to.
Yeah, we talk Google Plus or Pinterest. Okay, so now this one AK shared with me today and asked me to share with the listeners. It is, let me put it in the chat, repost.us. Let me pop it here in the chat. What I like about this is it allows content distribution. So it's repost, repost.us, and you can join as a blogger or publisher and help distribute your own content to new audiences. But I think what's really going to be helpful is it's content discovery. So you can go into the content discovery part of it, and you're looking for articles or features or videos to tweet or post on your site or share, and it looks like it's going to be a good site for searching content.
Yeah, like if you're, you know, if it's time, you know, for you to write a blog and you're kind of looking for inspiration, man, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. I like it. So
yay!
Then, one, yeah. I've got one more I'm going to share. We'll probably end a little early tonight. The URL I put in the chat's a little long, but it's really it's www.howtogomo.com, and you should be able to get to it doing that. howtogomo.com. When you get to the site, what you're doing is you're going to check, is your site mobile friendly? So once you get to the initial site, ready to go, Mo, look down at the screen and find the red arrow that says, let's see how your current site looks in mobile. That's where we can go tonight. And then when you get to the next screen, which it is starting to go slow even for me to test your
site. Yeah, you're going to get a server error.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong. But then you'll get to another screen. Yep, got a server error tonight. They worked earlier today. You'll get to another screen that says test your site. And then you actually put your site, your URL in the screen, in the status bar. And then it runs like an assessment to see how mobile your site is.
Very cool.
Yeah, you have to check it back. But, yeah, I think we broke that one, too. Okay, so I do have
awesome.
One more. And it's Dana and BJ's fault. We like to break sites. And
well,
we're not,
you know, anything that sends you back to the developer to make them crazy is saying, okay, this is great, but.
So the last site that I have is actually an app. And it is, and I put it on the Facebook Social Geek Radio page earlier today, and I know you shared it as well. I think you shared it with a friend on your Facebook page. Maybe this isn't the one.
Yeah, I did. I shared it with my sister because she was looking away to share pictures of her kids without putting them all on Facebook.
Yeah. So this is called kicksend.com, kicksend.com. And it is an app that allows you to send not only pictures but videos. And you can share them, you can make it private, and you're just sharing it with the next person, and it does allow you to send very large files. And there's a video by, I love this gal, Digitoral. Can't think of her real name. Do you know what her name? It's not coming to me. But I put it on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page. She has a video showing the app and how it works. And yeah, I think it's really good for parents, since we're on the subject of kids tonight, of sharing videos and something that you might not want to put on Facebook. You can use the app Kicksend.
Yeah, and she was saying something, because I didn't watch the whole video because my ADHD was acting up, about, you know, sometimes videos from your phone are too large to, you know, send via, you know, kind of text message, that you could upload them to here also.
Yeah, I think it might be a good as backup as well. I don't know. We'll have to play around the site, but it looks like a good app. So
absolutely.
All the Geek It Out I'm going to share tonight. We'll let the other ones, I think AK had a few others, we'll let her share them next week when she comes back.
Thank you very much.
We do. Any that you have you want to share?
One that a site I've been playing around lately is Kumbaya. It's kumbuya.com. And I'm trying to type it in while holding my phone in my ear.
See if I can get it.
And it's, you know, it's another social platform, but you, what they have are tribes. And you follow, and I'll use Computer Explorers as an example. I might join a technology education group, and you could, you know, put your blog posts or share content there. But it also has a feature that if you sell something that has to do with that particular tribe, you can put a link to sell it through there. So the people in that tribe, you know, are already interested in your product. So, you know, if you sold hand-painted wine glasses, maybe you would join a wine group.
Cool.
Or something like that, because you know that the people within that group are already interested in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been kind of cool, and they're also very active on Twitter. You can tweet that you posted something there. And so it's, I think it's still in beta. It's still growing. But it looks real fun, and also I joined a blogging group called Bloggers Unite, and I've gotten traffic to, you know, back to my blog from there too, as well as comments on the site about, hey, I like that, or, you know, I like your logo, and things like that. So there really is some community building there.
Cool. Good. You know, and we're talking about sites to take you back to your blog site. I saw where AK and Sarah posted today from Two Geeky Girls what kind of traffic they're getting to their site from Pinterest.
Oh, well, that is just the coolest site. I mean,
those two
have really done well. And what, it's been like 2 weeks.
Not very long. TwoGeekyGirls.com is certainly going to take a peek at it and go to the Facebook page and see what's happening. Okay, well, the Blog Talk Radio operator is saying it is time for us to shut down. Laurie, thank you so much for filling in for AK.
Oh, I've had fun.
I appreciate
AK,
it.
So.
Yep, and thanks to Annie Fox as our guest tonight. And we will be back next week with AK.
Woo!
All right. Well, and thanks to the folks in the chat. So I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Mother. don't show me.